BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Eager. Now, the show that's all hockey. The Shaw's Star Market Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers.
Presented by Shaw's and Star Market. Download the Shaw's app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, Devlin Solar, and Mass General Brigham.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Each and every Saturday morning during the Bruins season, we are here from 9 until 11 a.m. Thanks so much for joining us, and we can take your calls throughout the show today at 617-779-0985. We also, during this first hour, I think around a half hour from now-ish, we will talk with Charlie McAvoy of the Boston Bruins, coming off a win last night over the Buffalo Sabres. We will also check in with Billy Jaffe at his regular time around 10:35 this morning. I'm Ryan Johnston, joined as always by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, fresh back from a very crowded, whatever the arena is called these days in Buffalo.
No, they haven't changed the name. It's still the KeyBank Center.
Still, well, I remember it as the HSBC. There's been a few
different stands.
I remember the
hot sauce blue cheese.
I just remember the
odd. I
heard
something else.
The auditorium.
Yes.
Memorial Auditorium.
Things as exciting there as it seemed last night?
I'll tell you what, they're excited about their Bills. Highmark Stadium, as I found out it's called now, which I didn't realize, but Highmark Stadium, and they everybody's got Bills posters and flags up and everything else. Sabres are a little, even though they started 3-0, they're a little quieter right now. A lot of people do feel, Ryan, and I'm not sure about this, but I heard different opinions, but the fact that the border is not open, they get a lot of people from Southern Canada, Southern Ontario, that come down for the games. A lot cheaper to buy a ticket in Buffalo than it is in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they come down to Buffalo for the games, but the border's not open yet. But they are supposed to open it at the beginning of November so for people to come down and be able to take in a game. So I think that'll be the true test, really. I mean, you know, and see how they hang in there in terms of, you know, where they're at. But, you know, I also heard some people say, no, you know, the product was so bad last year and you know, late last year or as the season went on. And, you know, the beginning of this year, okay, 3-0, but you got to show us a little bit more before we're going to dole out money to come and see it.
I think Billy mentioned it last week. They lost like half their season ticket base. They have just canceled. They just are tired of paying for, you know, for the product. And I'm sure the border had something to do with that as well. But, I mean, there's only so many years that people are going to pay to see a product that's just not competitive.
Well, 10 years now. This is 10 years they have not made the playoffs. 10 years in a row.
And they're off to their best start in 13 years prior to last night. The other thing with the border is if you're Canadian and you want to get back in, let's say you go to the game, you have to get a COVID test and you have to pay for that test in order to get back into the country. So they're just not at that point where they can have some of the Canadian fans that normally come down and watch Buffalo Sabres games. But listen, it was certainly an energetic team. And Linus Ullmark last night in that first period was terrific. He did some of his best work. There were some leaky moments there for the Bruins structurally, defensively. They certainly tightened that up in the final two periods, but Ullmark did his best work in the first 20.
Right, Sabres came as advertised. I mean, hardworking, you know, young. They're going to make mistakes here and there, and but they're gonna test you. I think it goes to show, like, Ryan, you know, you got to. It doesn't matter what the opponent is, right? You know, you've got some opponents that, okay, on paper, at least to start the season, if you think you're not sure where Detroit is, you're not sure where Ottawa is, you know, they should be up and coming based on some of the prospects they have. These are games that, you know, you go in, at least on paper, you say, we need to win these games. You know, you're going to go against the Floridas, the Tampas, you know, the Torontos. You know, this is going to be who you're going to be battling with most likely for the playoffs. Montreal made the finals last year. They're certainly, you know, we can talk more about them as we go along today. But those are teams that, you know, when you got these teams below you throughout the season, whoever they are, you can't sleep on them. Like, you've got to show up. You've got to put in the effort. You've got to play the game the right way, because those 2 points are imperative, because you know that some of these other games, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be wars, you know, when you're going to some of these other teams, these higher echelon ones.
Yeah, we see it across sports, but there are, you know, the good teams do exactly what you're talking about. They show up, and when they're playing a lesser opponent, they take it to them. There are other teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack that tend to play to the level of their competition. And that's what you have to avoid, is kind of getting dragged down when you're playing a team that's not very good. Maybe you kind of sleepwalk through the game. Maybe you let a few points slip away, and that can be the difference.
Yeah. It will happen. 82 games. It's going to happen at times during the season. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, Boston a couple years ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, just before the pandemic, they had all kinds of trouble with Detroit. And Detroit couldn't beat, you know, they were having trouble without everybody. And Boston couldn't beat them. So you're going to have teams that give you problems. But, you know, there's games that you come in. I mean, Buffalo comes in 3-0. They were playing with some confidence. They hadn't really played anybody yet. You know, Montreal winless. Arizona winless, and Vancouver was right around 500, I guess they are right now. So, but they beat those three teams. But this was the first real test they felt for them, and the work ethic was there for the Sabres, but the Bruins ultimately got the saves, certainly in the first period, and as the game wore on, and then they got the timely goals. They took advantage of Buffalo mistakes, and they made their own. They made their own too.
We're only a couple of games into the season, but here in the first three games, Brad Marchand is playing at
he's
MVP.
Best player on the ice for the Bruins.
I mean, he has just been magnificent here in the first three games. Again, it's early, and I know last year I think he finished fifth in the Hart Trophy voting, but the way he has started the season, he has picked up right where he left off.
Yeah, I mean, it's look, that's what you're hoping for, right? As you start the season, especially with that line, and as important as that line is to the success and failure of this team. You've got question marks kind of down the rest of the lineup, and, you know, is Charlie Coyle going to be a full-time second line center? Is he going to be able to carry that weight? You know, as you work your way down the list, there's question marks in every line. You need that first line to get started quickly, and Marchand is carrying that right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bergeron's going to go about his business.
Sure.
You know, and it's a little quieter way. You know, Pastrnak's going to do his thing. You know, and he scores last night, which is a great sign. You know, he'll put up his points, you know, see maybe a couple areas where he's trying to get a little bit, you know, more engaged in. Marchand has been engaged since the drop of the puck on the first night, and he is a nightmare to play against. He really is. I mean, he is a nightmare for defensemen or for wingers or for anybody that's got to play against him. It's just, he's relentless. We've seen this over the years, but he seemed to take it. I know it's early, but the first three games, he's taken it to another level. He's relentless. And then, you know, that penalty kill where he was just jamming away, he's battling with three guys in the offensive zone, in the offensive corner there. I think it was in the, I can't remember which period it was, down to a left of us. It was either the first or third period. I mean, he's just going. It's just, he's a nightmare to play against. He really is. And that's in the truest compliment way. And he's kept his, you know, he's towed the line. He's played the game the right way so far, and it's been outstanding for him.
He's only taken one minor penalty here in the first three games again.
Oh, you were telling him his Lady Bing last year.
Last year, yeah, he got off to that great start where he was staying out of the sin bin. But I think of just physically, first goal, he drills Rasmus Dahlin. Now,
yeah,
maybe Dahlin wanted a cross-checking penalty. Well, it was the same refereeing crew that the Bruins saw on Wednesday night in Philadelphia. And I'll give them credit.
It wasn't just Dahlin that wanted it.
No, I'm
and
sure.
I'll tell you, I honestly got to agree, because if we're cracking, if I'll tell you what, if name anybody goes in and cross-checks whoever, Matt Grizzlick, in that same fashion, and they end up scoring, I want a penalty,
yeah,
because we're cracking down on cross-checking. So it probably should have been, but hey, they didn't call it, and puck's in the back of the net.
And they set the standard, and they almost kept the same standard that they had on Wednesday, because there were a few calls that also could have been issued that weren't in
Philadelphia. Yeah, they let them play against the Flyers.
So, you know, Marchand takes advantage of that. He and Bergeron help create that first goal. And then I think about the battle.
But if that sets the standard that early in the game, the players know what's allowed.
Right.
And they stuck
and
to
I saw
it.
Dahlin give Marchand a pretty good cross check later in the game. Right?
I mean, and then I ran him over in the corner.
Well, that was it was after that. Yeah, it was right after that, right.
Oh, and he was just yapping away at him. It was great to see.
The thing that's impressive about Marchand is, look, you've got guys in the league that can put up the numbers that Marchand does, but and Bergeron's kind of in the same boat, that the effort that they put in defensively and how good that those guys are on the penalty kill is what really sets them apart from other guys who can be dominant offensively but don't give you the same effort at the defensive end or don't you can't rely on in big situations. That to me is what has always stood out about Brad Marchand, is even as he's turned into a superstar in the league, he hasn't lost that.
I mean, can you imagine being a forward back there trying to play defense one-on-one in a shorthanded situation? If Marchand's shorthanded and what he's able to throw at you coming at you and then battling in the corners, things like that, he's really developed into just a nightmare. And he's shorter, but he is so strong on his feet and the edge work and the ability to make plays in small spaces. I mean, you see that play he made the other day against the Flyers where somebody was on his tail, was in the corner, and then another player came in to take him, and he pulled the puck into his feet and he escaped it, and they ran into each other, and he's really started well. He's been the best player on the ice for the Bruins in all three games.
Well, we've got a lot to get to as we get started here on this week's edition of the Shaw and Star Market Hockey Show. We will talk more about last night's game, including the Bruins regular season debut of Linus Ullmark, who picks up a win against his former club. We will, again, be joined by Charlie McAvoy a little bit later on in this hour as well. And we can get to some of your calls coming up at 617-779-0985. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show until 11 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go, go, go!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub and the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Back with you, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. 617-779-0985, our number if you would like to jump in with us as well. First week of the season in the books. Bruins with bookending wins against Dallas and Buffalo last night. And in the middle, a loss to Philadelphia on Wednesday. And guys, we talked a lot last week as the season was getting ready to get underway about the goaltending situation. And Jeremy Swayman gets the start in the first two games. Looked really good in the opening night win over Dallas. Not so great, and the support in front of him not so great either on Wednesday night against Philadelphia. Ullmark comes in last night against his former club. And Judd, you mentioned it right off the bat. I mean, he got tested a lot in that first period and withstood some pretty good chances. We said it going into the season. You're going to need both of these guys to play well. And so far we've seen the best of what Jeremy Swayman can offer. I think we've seen, we saw last night some of what Linus Ullmark is going to offer this team, hopefully, as the season goes on. Just your overall thoughts on what you've seen out of these two guys and how this situation is going to play out going forward.
As far as Jeremy Swayman, I think the interesting thing that the Bruins are going to watch is this is the first time we have seen him with a shaky performance. So how does he bounce back? When does he get that opportunity to bounce back? I'm sure we'll have a better idea later today what Bruce Cassidy is going to go with in goal on Sunday afternoon. I would imagine that's going to be Linus Ullmark based on the way he's played. And then we'll see when Swayman gets back into the rotation, because after Sunday's game, you're in a back-to-back set at Florida, at Carolina. So they're going to split those two games. But Ullmark certainly deserved, based on what we saw, to get the start here on Sunday afternoon against San Jose. So this is going to be the thing that everybody's going to watch. And I thought it was fascinating that Bruce Cassidy pointed this out. If you're going to have a long career in the National Hockey League as a goaltender, you were going to have performances like you had on Wednesday in Philadelphia. So what does that response look like? And that's something that we all have to gauge. As far as Linus Ullmark, continue to do what you're doing. I thought his rebound control was good. Maybe he wasn't tested quite as much with traffic and everything in front. Some of that has to do with the way that the Bruins were able to tighten up structurally. But I also thought, just from the eye test, it looked like the communication and the way that he directed pucks and he communicated with his defense was much more sound last night.
Yeah, and sometimes you need a little luck as well. And he got a little puck luck on a Cousins chance in front, but you know, it wouldn't have been a fault of his own if that puck had gone in, right? I mean, he got that right pad over, wasn't quite on the ice, but I mean, he was battling in that situation. So they did have a couple point blank chances in the first period, and he was up to the task. He was the big reason they were up 2-0 going into the intermission. I mean, you know, Buffalo had to be saying, "Wow, you know, we threw a lot of pucks at him. We had it wasn't just pucks from the outside. We did have a couple from the inside, and you know, he was there for them." So. And I agree, you know, I mean, we talked about it during the broadcast last night. He looked pretty comfortable. There were a couple chances where, the puck comes off the back wall and he's got to scramble back to the post. But if you're out cutting down an angle, that's going to be any goaltender trying to get back to that post. And he was good. He was really good. And for, you know, people that were quick to jump to conclusions after the preseason, you know, the guy hadn't played since when? You go back, he missed the last part of the
16 days.
Go back
April
to
13th.
Last season.
April 13th against
he
the Bruins.
He hadn't played a game since April 13th. I mean, that's a long, long time before you get back into game action. And a couple preseason games on a new team. I thought he handled the puck well last night. You know, there were some chances or there were some things that went on during preseason where the handoffs or, you know, him moving the puck. Of course, that one gaff, everybody would concentrate on that one. I think it was against the Rangers. But I'm talking about just handoffs with the defenseman. After a puck is dumped in, he goes back to stop it. The communication with the D, you know, the things that people that you don't think about, because if they're done the right way, they look easy, right? You go back, you got pressure coming from one side, you got support behind you, communication with the goaltender. He makes a backhand pass into the far corner. That defenseman has the puck. He makes a tape-to-tape pass to the winger, and they're out of the zone, or the center, and they're out of the zone. If he makes the wrong decision and comes up the strong side where the two forecheckers are coming from, now you're trapped in your own zone. So you don't think about those things when they're done correctly. You only kind of focus on them when they're not. And that's he's getting used to new teammates, new communication, new breakouts, or you know whatever systems that the Bruins play. They play a different system in the D zone, so there's a lot of things that you know he had to kind of process, and he hadn't played a lot of hockey. So I think you know the work that he put in, you know, kudos to him and Bob Asenza, the goalie coach, and the work that they put in getting himself prepared and ready for his start. He knew when he was going to play first, he could prepare for it, and I'm sure he told us there was some nerves. You know, he's playing against his old team, so. I thought he handled himself great, and they needed him. They needed him, especially in the first period.
I think some people look at, you know, you look at a goaltender and you think, well, you know, it's kind of like a solo position, right? You don't have a partner. You've got the guys in front of you who are trying to help you out, but essentially it's you. But there is more to it than that. There is an adjustment period. And we talk about it a lot with young defensemen kind of getting used to where their partner is going to be, getting used to, you know, who's covering where. Same thing with goalies, right? I mean, when you're talking about going out behind the net, it's not just, you know, taking a skate, making a play. Like, you've got to get some help back there. So the defenseman have to adjust to him. He has to adjust to the defenseman. It doesn't happen necessarily overnight.
I think that's something that the Bruins realized with a new goaltender coming in. And granted, this is not Yaroslav Halak, and it's a very different situation. Yaro had played a lot longer in the National Hockey League. He had far more experience under his belt than a guy like Linus Ullmark. I think the Bruins realized there were going to be some moments, as he got up to speed. The issue for the Bruins is how quickly can they get him up to speed so he's playing to his potential.
Let's go to the phones. Maria in Watertown up first. Good morning, Maria.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good morning.
Welcome back from lovely Buffalo, gentlemen. I'm sure you had a raucous time there.
It's a good spot.
The silence speaks volumes.
You know, my concerns around the goaltending were alleviated a bit last night because I thought Omark did play pretty well. But after what I saw against the Flyers defensively and still, you know, some missed assignments last night, I am still concerned about defensive depth on the back end. You know, I know Mike Riley had a really bad game on Wednesday night, but he wasn't the only one. So, you know, beyond the pairing of McAvoy and Grizzlick and maybe whoever is with Carlo, how do you see this depth shaking up or tightening up? Because, you know, that could be problematic. You don't want your goalies facing a ton of rubber night after night, I would imagine. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the defensive depth and my concerns related to that. Have a great day, guys.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
Well, you're never going to play a perfect game. And, you know, I'm not talking about the Flyers. I'm talking about Dallas, and I'm talking about last night against Buffalo. You know, these guys are going to generate some chances. You just want to limit those chances. You want to make sure that they're one and out, one and done. You make sure your goaltender sees it more often than not. You know, they are going to have some opportunities. That's why you have your goaltender there. You know, you put John Moore in last night for Clifton. You know, is that a reward for John Moore? Possibly, probably, because he played well in preseason. It's good to see him back from injury, and he played well last night, I thought. You know, Clifton's got the ability to play well. I think Clifton's somewhere in between a little bit right now. You know, he wants to go, and he wants to be that guy, to, you know, that's kind of a wild card out there a little bit, but they've also tried to rein him in a bit. To me, it seems like he's a little bit in between. That's just my opinion. And I'm, you know, watching it in the first couple of games because I really like the way that he plays and what he brings to the table. But, hey, you know, you go into the season, you've got some different – so they tried some different things, right? You go against a big, heavy team in Dallas, and they pair McAvoy with Forbert. And Forbert's a big, sturdy guy, kills a lot of penalties, and can play physical hockey. And I think he's played pretty well here so far. And Flyers game aside, I think the two wins, I think a lot of those guys have played well. They try something a little bit different with McAvoy and Grizzlick against a smaller team. You know, the Flyers aren't that big. They have one big line, you know, but they're not that big overall. And, you know, they don't play that huge, heavy style. They have a couple guys that hit, but it's not the bruising Philadelphia Flyers either. So you try that speed game. The problem was the other two pairs didn't really fare very well in that game. I thought they struggled a bit. So, you know, what do you go with? You know, it all depends on your opponent. And we went through this before the season. It's not going to be set in stone during a game. They can go, they can switch pairs, and we've seen it. You know, they'll start the penalty kill with Forbert and Carlo. You know, two big guys on that back end, you know, and then they'll come back with McAvoy and X. So I think there's a lot of moving parts on the back end. I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what they have in terms of pairs, and they're still trying to find some of that chemistry. You know, Riley brings a lot to the team. He does. I mean, you can focus on the one bad giveaway he had against the Flyers. So there were some other instances too, don't get me wrong, and I thought that they did struggle. But this is – they're pretty good back there. You know, they got a pretty decent mix of moving the puck. They're not the huge bruising defense, you know, that people got used to, you know, some years ago, but there's some great puck moving. I think Grizzlick has really started the season well, the way he moves the puck, the way he escapes. It's enjoyable to watch him skate, you know, going back for a puck with under pressure, using that escape move. And when him and McAvoy are moving the puck together, coming up the ice, it's like they really feed off of one another confidence-wise, I think. And we can ask Charlie about that when he's on here in a little while.
Yeah, he is hopefully going to join us coming up in the next segment. So we will check in with him, and we will check in with more of your calls coming up at 617-779-0985 as we continue here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
If you really love hockey, this is your show.
They score!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, back with you here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 617-779-0985. Hopefully, we will hear from Charlie McAvoy here in a few minutes, scheduled to join us. We were talking just before the break about a little bit about this team defensively. And, you know, Bob, you mentioned certainly not set in stone, especially early on in the season, what the pairings are going to look like. And you also mentioned kind of Bruce Cassidy, depending on what the opponent is and what they bring to the table physically. Like Grizzlick will play against maybe smaller, faster teams that don't hit as much with McAvoy. Forbort played with him in the game one where you expect it's going to be a little bit more physical. You want a little bit of a bigger guy. Forbort's the new face back there. What have you seen from him over the first few games?
First of all, Grizz is going to have to play against, doesn't matter which team, right?
Yeah.
It's a heavy team, but yeah, the pairings. Right?
The pairing. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, kind of who gets that top pairing assignment for the night.
Yeah. I've liked Forbort. I mean, you know, he kind of comes as advertised. He's a big, strong guy. He's physical. He gets in the way. You know, I was always curious what his first pass looked like. You know, does he get back and make that smart decision? How does he work with McAvoy or whoever his partner might be that specific night? You know, how much or how quickly do they kind of come together? Because it's a, you know, he's a new player to the team, new system, that type of thing. But I think, like I said, I think he's come as advertised. I think the penalty killing's been good. By and large, it's been good. You know, him and Carlo start most PKs unless one of them's gassed after a, you know, when a penalty is taken. So, yeah, small sample size for everybody at this point. You know, all the new guys, but I've liked a lot of what I've seen.
Just thinking about the two games in particular, Philadelphia, or even that first period in Buffalo. It sounds like last night the coaching staff wanted to see a better performance in the neutral zone. I think we saw that in periods two and three. And
yeah, Bruce mentioned that they made a couple of adjustments there in the neutral zone last night.
And then in Philadelphia, the other thing that was talked about coming out of that was a little bit of risk-reward, how you manage the puck, when you choose to pinch, when you choose to pass. You know, obviously, Mike Riley, early third period, rushing up the ice, bringing some speed, passes over to the right. Joel Farabee gets a piece of it. They come across on an odd man chance, score, and that was the game-winning goal. So early on, I don't think it's been a personnel issue. It's some, I think it's some structural things that the Bruins want to smooth out in their game.
You know, when to pinch and when not to pinch, too. Like, if you're going to pinch down, so these guys are pinching as the puck's coming around. You know, they're not waiting till the puck gets there and then going and making that decision. You're going. And if you hesitate, then you got to come back. But, you know, they want to be aggressive at that offensive line. They want to be aggressive. So you're not standing at the blue line, you know, when the other team's trying to clear a puck. Or when the shot's coming from the other point. You're already anticipating that you're going to pinch down the wall, anticipating that puck's going to come around. So you got to be there right away. So if you don't have support in the middle, that's when you have to have that play. You have to be there at the same time, and you have to have the puck that stays there. You can't allow that puck to get by. And that's what happened, I think, in the Flyers game. There was no support, so that the pinch has to be a little bit quicker. But, hey, you know, it's going to happen from time to time, especially when you're trying to be that aggressive.
When we were talking about the, you know, the goaltending position and getting used to guys as well, I mean, same thing goes for these D pairings. You know, Forbort being the new guy, you're going to deal with some of that as far as growing pains as well, right? Getting to know what the tendencies are with the guys you're playing with so that you know whether you need to be hanging back, whether you need to be making the aggressive play if the other guy's going to have your coverage behind you, right?
It's not just that. You have to have the coverage from the forwards. It's not just, you know, your defense partner. But there's so many reads for D. You know, guys coming down the left wing side, right defenseman's right there. It's a soft chip behind him. That left D's already got to be cheating over to come over and get that soft chip. You know, the right D, he can run a little moving pick, a little interference. You can't put a hand in the guy's chest and hold him up that way, but you can skate with him and kind of make the forechecker go the long way. And that allows your partner to come over and make the play to get that puck. I mean, there's these little reads that have to happen. I mean, that's just one example of many little reads that have to happen. You know, when you're going D to D, do you work it more on a hinge or do you work more, you know, is that defenseman really coming underneath you where you come back to him on the pass and he can make the pass up to the far wing? There's a lot of different little reads, I think. And that's where the practice time comes in, but it's also nice to have the game conditions where you can really get used to somebody. I mean, they've had a ton of practice time, but it's hard to simulate those game conditions.
You talk about Derek Forbert and what his impression has been like here in the first three games as a newcomer. Tomáš Nosek, I think, has been very noticeable in a good way for the Bruins here in the first three games. Scored a gorgeous goal last night, nearly set up Charlie Coyle for a goal last night also in the second period, and he's been a useful piece. We've seen him go from the fourth line to the third line to the second line, working in the middle, playing on the wing, playing his offside, playing in penalty-killing roles. That's been a good add here for the Bruins here early in the season.
Did that surprise you guys at all last night, him getting bumped up fairly early in the game? It felt like they went to him in the second line and dropped Smith down to the third.
I liked it. I thought that, you know, he was a little out of place on that, which the hollow line at that time. You know, they're trying to put him into that spot. I liked what they did there. I really did. I thought it was a good move. And, you know, that way him and Coyle could be interchangeable as the centerman route, you know, wing. And, you know, you still had Taylor Hall over on the other wing. So, hey, it worked out. So I thought it was a good move. And Craig Smith, he took a maintenance day. So you don't know what he's kind of going through right now. So a little change in lines, and certainly worked out with that nice goal that they scored late in the first period.
All right, let's go out to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline right now. We are happy to welcome in Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy joining us on a rare Saturday off day. Not quite an off day for the players, but has a Saturday morning free and decided to call us this morning. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Morning, Charlie. Let's start here. You signed the new deal, and I know one of the things you were asked was, were you planning to buy anything, you know, now that you got this new contract? And the first thing out of your mouth was, I think I might get some dog bones for Otto. So what did he end up getting?
Oh, man. Well, I guess a shout-out our little store we go to here in the Seaport, Polka Dog. He's a piece of work. He pulls me there, you know, every chance he can. As soon as we get close to it, he's like yanking me towards it. He likes everything that's in there. So a bunch of treats, a bunch of bones. He's living like a prince.
That dog is a star. If you haven't followed Otto the Rocket Dog on social media, that dog has got something.
He's a piece of work, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I love him very much. He's awesome.
Charlie, so take us through the first couple of games here, first three games. Just for you personally, a couple different partners. I know that you're very familiar with Matt Grizzlick, Derek Forbert's new face this year. We were talking about their different styles a little earlier, and maybe just take us through how you maybe adapt playing with Grizz as opposed to maybe Forbert and maybe the different things that you, or do you take a different approach, you know, when the game starts?
You know, I think once you start playing, the game just moves so fast that it's hard to have, you know, sort of a completely different approach. But, you know, I do feel comfortable playing with both guys. The familiarity with Grizz is very nice. Excuse me. I know his tendencies, you know, pretty well, and he likes to move the puck. So, you know, he's not necessarily going to be giving it to me, you know, every shift or relying on me, you know, because he sees the ice so well and he can make his plays, and we try to be a quick transition team. So, it allows, you know, one of the two of us to get up the ice quick, you know, which is something I know we both want to do. I think with Forbes, I think we have been getting to know each other well. I think defensively we've played well together. And then I think, you know, as far as transition goes and breakouts, I think, you know, we're just starting to get, you know, our feet wet. But I think in that first game, I think it went well. You know, those are the things where, you know, you continue to just get the familiarity, you know, watching film together, just growing together. You know, I'm sure I'll be playing with him again. And Grizz, and who knows, and other people, you know, these seasons, it's a lot of games, long year. So we'll see what happens. But I try and just be, you know, be steady for whoever it is.
Charlie, when we see Matt Grizzlick here on the ice, his escapability is just amazing with the puck back in his own end. How hard is it for him to watch him execute some of these plays where he does that tight turn, 360, and then starts heading north?
Oh, man. It's wild. I don't know. The one yesterday, I think you could hear, you know, you could hear everybody on the bench afterwards. Because it's special. It's special when he does those plays. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's a pretty great example of what I was just saying. So, you know, if I'm over on the other side of the ice and Grizz, he trusts himself and you know, and his confidence in me, obviously, you know, he can pull it off. He has all the skill in the world. So if he sees his opportunity to make plays like that, he's going to, you know, do that escape move. He's going to transition quick. He's going to get that puck up the ice, and then me on the you know, on the weak side, that allows me to usually jump and join the play quicker. So it's something I think that we, you know, we're good at when we're together. You know, because vice versa, I too will like to transition it quick and allow him to be the one to get up the weak side. So I think that's just one of the things that we do well.
Charlie McAvoy of the Bruins joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We were talking a little bit earlier about Ullmark and Swayman, and, you know, you guys have, for the most part, over the last few years, it's been Tuukka and Halak. What's it like to not have just one new goalie in the system, but really kind of two, because you didn't have all that much experience with Swayman coming into this year either?
Yeah, I think one of the best things about this team is just the, you know, the way that whenever someone comes in, they're welcomed in, you know, with every single guy. And, you know, it's really, everyone's invested in those players and those people that come in, you know, as far as building relationships and, you know, making them feel like a part of the team, because they are. Every guy, you know, is a big piece of the puzzle. So I think we did really get close to Sway last year. See him come in and play as well as he did. I know I'm not the only one. I'd say that every guy really took the opportunity to get very close to him, and he's a tremendous guy and an awesome goalie. So I would say that we were really familiar with him. It doesn't really feel as though it's, you know, new with him. And for the same exact reason, the same thing with Linus, you know, going through camp, getting to know the player, getting to know the person. It's been good to have, you know, those two guys going, and just see Linus play last night and be able to get that win. That was awesome. We were really happy for him. But, you know, no Tukes, no Yarrow. It is very different. But I think we're making the most of the situation, and we're feeling very comfortable with those two guys.
So Charlie, Linus's former teammate Rasmus Dahlin said before the game, "I really liked scoring on Linus in practice because he's a guy who liked to talk a lot of trash." Have you seen that personality come out in Ullmark here?
I have not seen that, not one time. Oh man, I don't know if he was just pouring some fuel on the fire. Maybe we'll see that side here soon. But Linus competes hard. I guess maybe I haven't stirred the pot with him. Maybe that was a two-way street with those guys. But not me. He comes to work and he works hard. He competes well. And he's just been a great addition to the team.
Charlie, from where I sit, you know, I really enjoy watching, for example, you and Grizz on the ice in the offensive end with the Bergeron line. You guys get a lot of offensive zone starts. When things are really rolling down there in that offensive end, how active are you and Grizz encouraged to be? Or, you know, how do you know when to kind of jump down to support, or to kind of stay out, or maybe not stay out of their way, but you know what I mean? Kind of stay out near the blue line as opposed to jumping down and getting involved down low.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody just, we trust each other to make plays. So, I mean, I don't really know how else to say it. I want to say like controlled chaos, right? Because we play with structure,
like
you know,
that.
Right? Like we, yeah, but we know where we're supposed to be, right? I know where I need to be an outlet for those guys. If they're down low, I need to be up top. I need to be able, you know, to be there for a rim release or to alleviate pressure. But then there's times after that where I know I'm encouraged to get moving on the blue line to open up some space. And at that point, you know, that's where maybe a forward's coming high or someone's in a seam or, you know, perhaps in the middle of the ice where you're able to hit them and then go and then you activate. And then, you know, one of the things, you know, Bush talks about possession over position. Like, you know, if we have good possession, you are free to, you know, to move around. We trust in each other's abilities to, you know, to use each other, to find each other. You know, and so long as we have two guys back, we're okay. We're okay with activating and, you know, finding your place on the ice.
Piggyback a little bit on that, Charlie, a lot more responsibility late last year on the power play, and that's begun again this year. How has that evolved for you in the offensive zone? I know you've played it in the past at different levels, but now, you know, playing on a regular basis with the top unit, how is that, or what areas do you look to continue to improve in? Where do you think that you've made the best adjustments?
As far as the power play goes?
Yes.
I mean, I think probably just the comfort with the group. You know, I think that in times before, perhaps, you know, knowing that I was sort of, you know, filling into the role, you know, just not wanting to make a mistake, being a little bit more, you know, tentative, I'd say, you know, wanting to just, you know, I guess make sort of, you know, the simpler play, you know, and really just limit anything bad, you know, because knowing, you know, I guess, you know, I really wasn't going to be there long. So I think this time around, and, you know, I've been able to play with more confidence. You know, I know we're only a handful of games in. We haven't really had very many power plays in any games, but, you know, in the preseason we did a bit. But just having that confidence, trying to own my spot there, you know, believing in myself to help that group, you know, and then wanting to produce, not wanting to go out there and just not really make mistakes, but wanting to find my plays and wanting to be a big part of it, you know, put those guys in positions to where we can score goals.
Charlie, we were having this conversation earlier, and I wanted to get your perspective on this. What's it like trying to get the puck off of Brad Marchand?
It's hard. It's very hard. He had that one shift last night that was awesome. He's killing the penalty, and I mean, it felt like he had the puck for like a minute. It probably wasn't anything more than 15, 20 seconds, but still, that's just wild. There's three guys on him, and he's able to just drain the clock like that. His compete is off the charts, and then it's his body positioning, the way he's able to you know, leverage himself with the puck. It's something that's it's special, man. It's a trait of his that you know, it really helps him be, you know, one of the best players in the league, really, in my opinion.
Charlie, last thing before we spring in, we really appreciate your time here on this Saturday afternoon before practice. I know the Red Sox have been eliminated from the playoff action after losing last night against the Astros, but you were there to start that run in the wild card game when it was Red Sox-Yankees at Fenway Park. How was that experience?
That was crazy. That was wild. You know, I'd been to games at Fenway. It was more so the seats that we had. So we were right on the, you know, right next to the Yankees dugout, you know, sort of parallel with the manager there, Aaron Boone. So he was, you know, he's standing there, you know, he sort of leaned on, you know, he's leaning on the stairs as he watches basically the entire game. He's in the same spot. And, you know, he's less than 2 feet away from me. So it was really, you know, an experience like I hadn't had, like going to a ball game. Like, you hear every conversation. You're seeing every guy, you know, all the players come up the stairs. They're going, and obviously the Yankees weren't able to, you know, to win. There were quite a few strikeouts. So you're seeing the raw emotion of guys like coming back, and it was like, it was pretty wild. I'd say that where we were, it was definitely a new experience. But man, the fans at Fenway, they're so passionate. It was cool. It was really cool to be a part of. And then we went to a game. They walked off against
Tampa.
Against Tampa. Yeah, against Tampa. Yeah.
They
walked off. And it was, yeah, it was another one that was the place was jumping the whole night. It was really cool. We were really pulling for them, but you know, a lot of young guys thought they'll be good.
Any chirping between you guys in the Yankee dugout?
No, God, no. But it was kind of wild because, you know, like I had never seen it, you know, it being an athlete myself, like, you know the situation they're in, right? When they're feeling, you know, when a guy strikes out, he's coming back to the bench, and you can see it. You can see how, you know, upset he is, right? Like I know that feeling, and you know, I never really sort of had any, you know, when you're up on the Green Monster or somewhere else, you can't see anyone's faces. You can't hear what they're saying, right? So it's kind of a little outside of mind, like, yeah, like, oh, whatever, he struck him out, you know. But you're there, and it felt like you were in the dugout with them. So it was like a little bit of sadness there, like watching them all, you know, kind of be down in the dumps. But then, you know, really quick, you're getting cheered up. I was sitting with all Red Sox fans, and they were pretty funny. I mean, one of the crazier things also is, like, you could hear all the chirps that they're hurling at the dugout. And I'm like, if I'm 2 feet away from Aaron Boone and all the players, like, and I can hear it plain as day, you know he can hear it too. Like, you know he can. And, you know, he showed no response or anything. And no, you know, like he couldn't hear it, but you know he could.
Charlie, we appreciate you taking a few minutes with us this morning. And best of luck tomorrow afternoon against San Jose.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Charlie.
There's Bruins' Charlie McAvoy joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. As he and the Bruins get a practice day today and get ready for an afternoon tilt tomorrow over at the Garden against the Sharks. 1 o'clock face-off over there. We've got another hour still to go here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, and we will have that for you coming up next.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home of the Bruins. 98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.